so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
No matter what it is that you're going through, you're going to see a victory. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you got a victory coming. Come on, someone get a little bit louder and say, you got a victory coming. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for every person in this room that's going through a battle, that your Holy Spirit would come upon them right now. Release them of the stress, of the fear, of the drama of that battle so they can sit in your presence and receive your word. God, I pray that you would replace fear, that you would replace pain, you would replace unknown with confidence and hope. That every person in this room would know they're going to see a victory in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just commit this next 7 hours of preaching to you. Hallelujah. We just ask that you would move in the name of Jesus, but maybe quicker than that, in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. Amen. Hey, stay standing because I'm going to read the word in a second. If you're new here, welcome to church. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor at Eternity Church right here, and I'm so glad that you're here. We've got a gift for you out in the lobby, so please run and grab that after the service. A welcome bag. You'll see them hanging on the wall, and you'll see a team of smiling, happy people waiting to give them to you. So please go and get that. Today, we were going to launch a new sermon series called Empowered, but we're not. And we will at some point in the next, 2 weeks, 8 weeks, 2 years, I don't know. We will do it. Here's the problem though. I got to reading Genesis. You can get a little stuck when you're reading Genesis, right? Like, I got reading Genesis, and Genesis is like every action movie you've ever seen rolled into one book, right? It's absolutely insane up in there, and I got stuck in Genesis. See, I was going to use God said, go and fill the earth as my launch text for the sermon series, but I got stuck reading Genesis, and I got stuck reading, but when I got to chapters 16, 17, and 18, man, I just had to keep reading 16, 17, and 18 over and over and over again. I just got stuck there, and so I want to share with you today what I believe the Holy Spirit revealed to me as I was reading those three chapters, okay? Because something there got my attention that it hadn't really got my attention like that before. So you want to hear it? Awesome. So you ready to go off topic before we even got on topic? Awesome. So Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, we're going to read all the way through to the end of chapter 18. So we're going to read three chapters right now. You ready? I'm just kidding. We're just going to read 7 verses. We're going to read from Genesis 16, verses 1 through to 7. And it says, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, and before all the theological scholars in the room are like, y'all, that wasn't Sarah or Abraham yet because God hadn't changed their names. Shut up. Like, we know how the story ends, all right? You know, like, you don't call your wife by her maiden name anymore, do you? And it's just confusing, and I can't say Abram properly and Sarai. I don't even know how to say that. So it's Abraham and Sarah. Can we agree on that for now? All right. Awesome. I don't want any emails from people being like, I know more than you. I'm like, yeah, you probably do, but I don't care. Anyway, back to the text. We haven't even got far and my opinions have come out, right? I'm sorry. Now, Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go and have sex with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. So Abraham, the incredibly wise father of the faith. Abraham, our hero. Abraham, the one who started it all, agreed with her. And so after Abraham had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar, gave her to her husband to be his wife, and he slept with her, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. And then Sarah said to Abraham, you We've been playing this game for a long time, haven't we? You! It's like Adam and Eve all over again. You did it! You did this! Just roles reversed. We just switched who's blaming who in this story, right? You are responsible for the wrong that I'm suffering. Amazing how the very thing you want can become the very thing you hate. Yeah? You're asking God for something. God, give it to me. God, give it to me. God, give it to me. And you're like, God, why won't you give it to me? And he's like, because you're going to hate it. Yeah? There's some things you're asking God for that if you get them, they'll ruin you and you'll hate it. And you'll be like, you are responsible. Not everything we want from God is going to bless us. You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May God judge between you and me. Well, if we were judging, sweetheart, it'd probably be both of you, but anyway. Then Abraham, the great forefather of our faith, the wonderful and incredible leader, the man of God, the righteous one, he said, your slave is in your hands. Do whatever you think is best. So then Sarah mistreated Hagar and she fled from her. But thank God, the angel of the Lord found Hagar in a spring, by a spring in the desert. And if you flee, if someone's mistreating you, don't worry. God is going to find you. Amen. What an incredible story. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, it's going to get loud in here. You may take your seats, fist bump your neighbor, say, I love you. I got a feeling things are going to get loud today. If you're sensitive to loud noises, go ahead and put your earplugs in, turn your hearing aids down. I got a feeling God's going to do something in here. Someone's going to get their praise on at Eternity Church in the 9:30 service today. Someone's going to get loud, so you better be ready. I warned y'all. So no emails. I warned you, it's going to get loud. Come on, fist bump your neighbor again and say, it's going to get loud. We're going to go back to the scripture, all right? Abraham and Sarah are having an argument, a marital argument. Abraham and Sarah are having a moment. They're having a fight. Now, let's all be honest. They're having a fight about Hagar and Ishmael. Now, this moment, this argument wouldn't even be happening if Abraham didn't just have his Arnold Schwarzenegger moment with the housekeeper a few months ago. Just saying. Yeah, am I right or am I right? Like, there are ways to avoid certain arguments in your family. Scripture says that Abraham, the great forefather of the faith, the great man of God, the righteous one, the leader here. Scripture says that his reply to his wife is, your slave is in your hands, do whatever you think is best. Then Sarah mistreated her and fled from them. I think that was a moment that Abraham needed to get loud. Sarah is talking about mistreating Hagar, and Abraham's response is, do whatever you want. Listen to me, Clive. Listen to me, Adele. Listen to me online. Do whatever you want is not the right answer in the story. Listen, do whatever you want. Just after a moment of sin in your life, you can still say and do the right thing. You're not disqualified because just a moment earlier you did the wrong thing. Abraham probably felt like a failure after what he did, so he doesn't think he has the right to speak up. Doesn't think he has the right to speak on behalf of righteousness because he's so recently been involved with unrighteousness. Church, just because you messed up, just because you made a mistake, don't let your sin steal your voice. Don't let it take your voice away. Stand up, speak up, do the right thing. I get mad when people call people hypocrites for making a mistake and then advising people against it. Someone just, started sleeping around in their marriage and it destroyed their marriage, and so they say to the next person,
Not a good idea.
You hypocrite! What? Sometimes the people with the experience and who have done the wrong thing are often the best people to tell you it ain't gonna work out good. It's not gonna be good for your marriage, for your family, for your life. If mistakes means you can't give advice, then we are all screwed. Because we've all messed up in some way on some day. So no one's gonna be left to tell our children how to live. To tell our children how to love. But your past, in fact, even your yesterday, does not disqualify you from speaking up today. Amen. It doesn't matter what you did wrong yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did wrong last month. It doesn't matter what you did wrong in the car on the way to church. You need to speak up. You need to get loud. Amen. Come on. No, Abraham. Stop acting like a wounded dog and speak up. Don't say, do whatever you want. No, you say, Sarah, I'm not perfect. You know the whole Hagar situation, kind of did that. But this ain't right. I don't think you should beat her. I don't think you should mistreat her. That's not who we are. See, we're called to be Jesus out there and in here. I wish Abraham would have lived a louder grace that day. The grace I have been given, I give unto you. I wish Abraham lived a louder faith that day. Amen. I wish he spoke up. See, as I read that text though, and as I think about it, how many people think they're disqualified because they messed up so they don't speak up? How many people just can't be bothered speaking up? I wonder how often we walk out these doors and slide back into everyday life without any consideration for what Christ has called us to do with our lives outside these doors. How often do we let our schedules decide our values? How often do we let our environment alter our voice or let our sleep schedule or our mood change the tone of our voice? I want to live a loud faith, amen. I want to serve Jesus loud at every chance I get. I want to love Jesus loud. I want to love people loud. I want to love the community loud, amen. Now, the devil may want me to live in fear and live timid, but I'm going to live loud. Come on, are you with me? You need to yell at the preacher, West Campus. You need to yell at the preacher, Clive. Come on, are you with me? He wants you to live in fear. He wants you to shut your mouth. He wants you to live timid. But I'm going to live loud. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live quiet. I'm not going to live ashamed of my faith. Even if I messed up yesterday, I'm going to open up my voice. Amen. See, do you know what? I'm not ashamed of my faith. I'm not ashamed of the things that set me apart from other people. I'm not ashamed of the things that set me apart even from other churches. I'm not ashamed. I've laid hands on the sick and seen them healed. Not ashamed of it. I believe in the Holy Ghost that He's alive today. Not ashamed of it. I believe my Savior rose from the dead. Not ashamed of it. I speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit has enabled me. Not ashamed of it. I believe in tithing and how God blesses those who trust Him with their tithes. Not ashamed to preach it. Amen. I believe that Jesus makes life better. Not ashamed of it. I believe God cares if you're unhappy and wants you to be happy. Not ashamed of it. Not going to change what I preach. Not going to change my voice. Even if I get surrounded by other people who don't believe it, I'm going to speak up. Amen. I'm not going to shut my mouth and say, do whatever you want. Is anyone in here not ashamed to have a loud faith? Come on, not ashamed to have a loud faith. He's my best friend. He's my helper. He's my savior. He's my deliverer. I have messed up so many times, and He's been my deliverer every time. Like, I have messed up, and He has found a way out, and then somehow, miraculously, with Holy Ghost purpose, caused my own mistake to bless my life. The thing I did wrong, the thing I said wrong. I have sinned, and then 5 years later been thank God for that moment of weakness in my life, because all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. Amen. I want to shake off mediocrity. I'm going to shake off weekend Christianity. I'm going to shake off that mediocrity, that mediocre life. Shake off intimidation. Shake off fear. And I'm going to stand up and get loud about my faith. Amen. Anyone here want to get loud? Anyone here want to stand up and get loud and give me a shout of praise in here? Come on, we did not get here being quiet. We didn't get here being quiet. We didn't get this building being timid. We didn't get West Campus by being afraid of what happens if they don't give enough out there and it costs too much money to run a second campus. We didn't get there being timid. We didn't see a lady healed of cancer last year with a weak and quiet, timid faith. Didn't happen that way. We didn't get to see 1,148 people saved in 2019 by being quiet. We didn't get our community's attention with a little bit of a whisper. It came from living a loud faith, living a loud life, amen. Is there someone in your life you want to get saved? I hope there's more than that. Is there somebody in your life that you want to get saved? Then you got to get loud. God, send someone. I did. It's you. You want your neighbor to get saved? Quit asking God to send somebody. Quit asking God for an opportunity to speak into their life. There is an opportunity. The opportunity is the fact that you live next door. If you want them to get saved, you got to get loud. Amen. Is there a relationship you want restored? Then you got to get loud. Is there someone in your life that's sick and you want to lay hands on them and see them healed? Then get loud. Live a loud faith. And I'm not just talking about yelling at them. I'm saying live loud, live obvious. Get out of your box and lay hands on the sick. Amen. We don't want to be like Abraham. Just whisper. Do whatever you want. It's all good. Yeah, devil, you can kill my friend with cancer. No, yeah, do whatever you want, bro. No, we are living a loud faith, amen. Ask your friends, do you want to give your life to Jesus? Don't just wait for Sunday. Hey, bring them here. I'll ask them. They'll get saved. Yes, but you can ask them at work. You can pray at the cubicle. You can pray in your office. You can pray at Schottenkirk. You can pray at Coffeesmith. You can pray at Friedrichs. You can pray at Nationwide. You can pray at Farm Bureau. You can pray at Scooters. Come on. You can lead somebody to the Lord without my help. Got to get loud. Wouldn't it be great if we say 1,148 souls saved at Eternity Church in 2020 plus 2,000 more souls saved at Friedrichs, at Scooters, at Schottenkirk, at Coffeesmith, at St. Kilda, at Biagi's. Come on, that's the story we want. That's what happens when people get loud. Amen. Clive Copper's arresting people and leading them to Jesus. Hallelujah. You have the right to remain silent, but repeat after me. Dear God, hallelujah. You got to live your faith loud. You were not called to silence. God did not give you the Holy Spirit so you could shut up. You were not called to timidity, to fear. I have not given you a spirit of fear. Speak up. But I have given you a spirit of power. Of love, which motivates us to use the power. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is not just a weekend thing. The weekend's amazing. The weekend's important. God said, do not quit gathering as believers. So it's clearly important. But your faith needs to be loud on Monday as well. Hallelujah. When we walk into a room, the Holy Spirit walks in with us. Yeah. When you walk into a room, when you roll up into someone's house, the Holy Spirit goes with you. And when He walks into a room, He's pretty keen on changing the atmosphere. He wants to suck the death out of the room and pour in hope, pour in joy, pour in life. Amen. Abraham should have been grateful when Hagar should have been grateful when Abraham walked in the room, but instead he made no difference at all. None. What happens if you get fired from your workplace? Going to be the same amount of Holy Ghost there as there was anyway? Or is it going to change? What happens when you get hired? Something going to change in the atmosphere, or is going to be the same, just like Abraham? He literally made no difference in that story. He was like Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He played no role in the outcome of the situation. If you don't know what I'm talking about, because you're like way too young for that. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, have you heard of Indiana Jones? Give me a wave if you've heard of it, yeah? All right, good. We got some people. Last night, people were like, I've never even heard of any of that. Indiana Jones is hired by the United States government to find the Ark of the Covenant before the Nazis find it and grasp its almighty power. He steals the medallion. Some dude gets his hand burnt. They manage to find the Ark anyway. The Nazis find the Ark anyway. They take it to a deserted island. Indiana finds them, delays them for a couple of minutes. Then they open it and their faces all melt off and they die. Let's remove Indiana Jones from the story. They go find the medallion anyway. They find the Ark. They take it to a deserted island. They don't get delayed by a couple of minutes. They open it and their faces all melt off and they die. He made no difference to the story. I don't want to be like Abraham and make no difference. And I don't want to be like Indiana Jones and make no difference to my own movie. I want to make a difference to the story, amen? I want to make a difference in people's lives. I want it to matter that I existed. I want it to matter that I walked into a room and not because people are like, oh, crap. I want it to matter because I walk in and peace comes into the room. Hope comes into the room. Power comes into the room, amen? I don't want to be like Indiana Jones. I don't want to be like Abraham in this story. I want to be like the Good Samaritan. No one else mattered in that injured man's life. No one mattered. The priests, the pastors, the church staff members, they didn't matter. They walked past the crippled man, beaten and bloodied and broken on the side of the road, and they walked past him. They didn't matter. It didn't matter that those pastors walked past. It didn't matter that those churchgoers walked past. The only person that mattered is the Samaritan, the man that everybody else hated. He walked up and saw a broken man on the side of the road, and his turning up made a difference. His love was loud. His generosity was loud. Amen. His entrance into the beaten man's life was like a semi-trailer rolling down the street in your suburb in the middle of the night and rolling on its air brakes. Come on. He mattered. I want to be like Peter and John, who met a lame man on their way, just chilling out, going about their day, me and Pastor Jed going to get a coffee on our way back to the office. And there's a broken man. I don't want to be like everybody else and walk around him. I don't want to be like everybody else and jump over him. No, I want to pray that in the name of Jesus, you're going to get up and walk around things yourself. You're going to get up and jump over the mat that you were standing on. Amen. I want to be like Israel and praise God loud enough to make the walls come crashing down. Hallelujah. I want to praise God louder than the enemy is screaming at me. I want to praise God so loud the enemy can't even hear each other trying to come up with a plan. I want to praise God so loud that not only demons on earth are worried, but the devil in hell is hearing me and freaking out. I want to be like Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb and 10 strong men. No one even knows their names. because they were just mediocre, like everybody else, dressed in beige. Me too today, but it's all good. I don't want to be like that. What happened in the story? They send Joshua, Caleb, and 10 strong men to spy out the land that's Israel. And they spy out the land and they come back and 10 strong men, 10 burly, tough men like me and Mike Duquesne, just muscly, big, huge, strong, weightlifting guys, right? Massive guys, right? And those 10 come back and they're like, nah, man, it's jacked up, right? I know we're huge, but they're even bigger. They look like Brandon McNace. Like, we can't go there. Like, no way. It's an army. It's a land full of giants. We can't go there. But then two men, Joshua and Caleb, the only two men names we know, Joshua and Caleb, they speak up and say, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. God is going to meet us on the journey. God said go, so I'm going to go. I want to be like them. Who are we going to let be the loudest voices in Iowa? The people saying, oh man, they're even bigger than Jesse and Mike. I'm just kidding. I don't think Mike's huge. But who are we going to let be the loudest voices here? The people saying Holy Spirit is dead? Yeah. Are we going to let them be the loudest voice in Iowa? The people saying God hates you? We're going to let them be the loudest voice in Iowa? The people saying God is dead? The people saying, oh, if it feels good, just go ahead and do it. We're going to let them be the loudest voice in Iowa? We're going to let the people saying you're some anthropological miracle, just some lucky ape that walked out? The people saying that you don't have destiny, that you don't have purpose, that there's no divine design on your life? We want them to be the loudest voice in Iowa? Come on. People running around in fear. People screaming about the end of the world. We've got to be louder than them. Hope has got to be louder than fear. Healing has got to be louder than sickness. Forgiveness has to be preached louder than shame. We got to preach forgiveness louder than sin. I mean that two ways. We got to preach forgiveness louder than people are preaching just go and sin. And we got to preach forgiveness louder than people are preaching shame on people who sin. Too many people think God wants to punish us all. Too many people live with an Old Testament view of God. It's not because too many people are saying the wrong thing. It's because not enough people are yelling out about the truth. We got to get louder. We got to get louder, amen. Let's talk about Abraham again, because I kind of smashed the poor bloke. He can handle it, big dude, right? You know, bigger than Mike, right? Big dude. And but let's go talk about him again. Have you heard the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? You've heard of that? Yeah? So Abraham finds himself inserted into this story. And now you got to remember, this story is before the cross, right? So before the cross, sin, you get punished. After the cross, sin, Jesus gets punished. Yeah? You understand the difference, right? And so that's why Jesus came, because God's heart was breaking every time that we had to be punished. And we had to be punished because God is a just God. What do I mean by he's a just God? Well, think about it like this. When you see someone do something wrong on the news, your heart goes, someone's going to pay, right? You say that every time. I know you do, because everybody does. When you see someone's been murdered, you're like, I hope they catch him. They need to fry that guy, all right? Like, by the way, I don't think that's a super Christian attitude. You know, let's not fry the guy. Let's give him time to meet Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But listen up. What people are doing, right? Like, people are, you want justice, don't you? You see something happen to somebody, you're like, someone needs to pay. You get that from God. God's a just God, okay? And so when wrong is done, it needs to be made right. It needs to be punished. The way God has done that now is, instead of punishing you and me, Jesus Christ was punished, beaten, broken on the cross so that you and I don't have to be punished, beaten, broken for our sin. Do you understand what I'm saying, all right? So now when you read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, here's what you need to do. You need to read it and say, okay, there was people there and they were sinning a lot, and FYI, not just one sin. Hello? Not just one sin. Let me say that again. It was not just one sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, like everybody seems to say. There was a lot of sin. Now, what happened is God sees that city and says, they need to be punished. Now, what happened, because we're after the cross, if you read this story now, God would say, all right, so we're going to punish Jesus and let them go. They're going to give their lives to God. He's going to punish Jesus. Everybody's all good. Come on. That's how it would go. But listen up. Here's how it goes in the story because it's before the cross. The cities were considered extra sinful and God had to punish them. Abraham pleaded with God to save them. Now that's a cool story. He spoke up. Three chapters later, Abraham pleaded with God to save them. He wasn't saying, hey, well, everything they're doing in there is right. No, he's not saying that at all. Just like we don't say that either. He's saying, God, save them. God, save them. God, save them. Save them like you did Israel. Save them like you did me. Do you ever feel like now after the cross, now that God's not angry at us anymore, that the roles might have reversed? That God wants to save every sinner and too many Christians want to destroy them? Look at that and think maybe we've switched that around? Like we got sinners out in the world and in our pews right here. Pews? We ain't got pews. I've never even said that. In our seats. Mark my words, we ain't ever going to have pews. All right, move on. Like God wants to save all of humanity. God wants to save every sinner, but too many Christians are out there pleading with God to punish them. Like the roles reversed. It's like God is now the one pleading with us to quit shaming people and start getting loud about the cross. Start getting loud about that cross that saved your soul. Start getting loud about that cross that set you free. Amen. What happened to our pleading? We got to be louder than the negative voices. Buddies, we got to be louder than Westboro Baptist. We got to be louder than Westboro. We've got to be louder than the atheist. We've got to be louder than the unrighteous and the self-righteous. Come on, people. We've got to be louder than shame. We've got to be louder than hate. We've got to be louder than death. We've got to be louder than racism. We've got to be louder than fear. We've got to be louder than sexism. We've got to be louder than coronavirus. We've got to be louder than the flu. We've got to be louder than cancer. We've got to be louder than the economy. We've got to be louder than the weather. We've got to be louder than the bullies. We've got to be louder than the politics. We've got to be louder than the news cycle. Louder with hope. Louder with hope, louder with hope, louder with grace, louder with grace. Amen. Come on, we've got to be louder. Louder with righteousness. Hey, church, I'm not saying that everything everybody's doing is okay. I'm not saying God's just saying do whatever you want. God is not saying that. God wants us to live better. But church, it is only by the grace of God that you are able to become all that He designed you to be. And it's the same story for the rest of the world. Grace has got to be preached louder than shame. Forgiveness has got to be preached louder than sin. We've got to get loud about the cross. I'm getting hypo today. I got to preach another one. And I've got 14 seconds till my time runs out. Nope. What you going to do if you get a bad report from the doctor? What you going to do if a friend gets a bad report from the doctor? You going to let negativity fill the room? You going to say nothing? Because if you say nothing, fear will fill the room. If you say nothing, negativity will fill the room. Don't let negative voices speak louder into your story or the story of your friends' lives than your faith-filled Jesus is a healer voice. What's it sound like when you tell the story of your life, when people say, yo, where you from? Which, by the way, when you ask an Australian where he or she is from, you know how they answer it? Everyone say to church, everyone just yell out, where you from? Des Moines. Amen. Done. End of story. Yeah. What happens when you ask an American where you're from? Well, I was born in Wichita. When I was 3, we moved to Green Bay. Then I went to college in New York. I studied graphic design. Then I switched majors to accounting because it turns out I'm colorblind. then, after getting diagnosed as colorblind, they told me I got the beaties. And then my fiance left me, took my dog. We only had him a month, and she took my dog. She took my truck. I was the only person in all of New York City with a truck, and she took it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, man, where you from? Where do you live right now? Oh, Nebraska. Cool, that's all I wanted to know. My coffee is cold because you won't shut up. Where you from? Wodonga. Where you from? Melbourne. Where you from? Des Moines. Why? Because that's where I live. When you do tell that incredibly long story, though, which bits are the loudest? Which bits are the loudest when you do tell that story about where you're from, where you come from? My dog left? Or I got a new dog? I've had him for 39 years. Your dog has survived 39 years and all you got to tell me is the dog you had for a month is gone? But you got this 39-year-old miracle dog? What, I have to wait 40 years of this story to find out you finally got another dog? Are you for real? My fiance left. Never mind the fact that you've been married for 20 years now to the love of your life. Was I going to have to wait 20 years of this story to find out that God did something good in your life? My business went bankrupt. Or God got me through the hurt or the victory? Do you dwell on the drama, dwell on the negativity, or do you get loud about the breakthrough? Do you get loud about the healing or just the cancer? Do you get loud about the second chance? Or just the breakdown? Come on, God's got more for you. You need to get loud about what God's doing in your life. It's like what Pastor Connor said last week. You're called for such a time as this. You're called for such a time as this. Not just this general era, like, you know, the 2000s. Yay, woo! Yes, you're called to that too. But you're called to this second. You're called to this moment. You're called to each conversation that you're in, to each room that you walk into, to every dinner that you eat at, to every coffee shop that you frequent, to every highway that you drive down, to every byway that you pray on. You are called for such a time as this. And every room that you walk into is another room that God prepared in advance for you to walk into and get loud. And get loud. That person with a flat battery on the side of the road, that's not just a person with a flat battery in a car that won't move on the side of the road. That's an opportunity to get loud. Your co-workers sharing about their marriage drama isn't just another co-worker sharing about their marriage drama. That is another room for you to walk into and dance. That's another room for you to walk into and get loud in. That airplane that you're going to fly on next week for your business trip, that's not... That's not just a tin can in the sky, defying gravity. That's another room for you to dance in. That's another room for you to get loud in, amen? That apartment building, that cul-de-sac, that street you live on, more rooms for you to get loud in. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God Himself prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2, verse 10. You know, the thing about getting loud is people start talking about the faith that you have, don't they? You notice that? When you get loud, people start talking about you, don't they? Y'all awake? Y'all with me? Yeah? We're going to land this plane in a minute, so I need you to listen up. The thing about getting loud is people are going to talk about you. Now, I get called all sorts of things. I have been called a couple of years ago the cussing preacher. I'm not super proud of that one. But I am doing better these days, so thank you, America, for your made-up list of rules. I've been called Joel Osteen of the Midwest. That one makes me laugh. I'm like, thank you. Like you're saying, he's winning a lot of souls and we're winning a lot of souls. And so like, we're a great soul winning church. thank you, man. Like, am I supposed to be offended? I got called recently the hyperactive preacher, but that's my fault because I did preach about that a couple of weeks ago. And I've been told I need to dress better for preaching God's word. Like you know, you get some opinions from people when you get loud, don't you? No way, I'm not going to preach better. If anything, it'll get worse. I'll stay dressed. I'm not going to pull a David on you. Don't worry. I've been called a hyper grace preacher. Thank you. I don't know there's anything but that. People have said that we're too generous because we give away espresso and we give away new people bags and we give away t-shirts and we give to local schools and we give to local homeless outreaches and we give to people in crisis and we give to church planting and we give to missions. I don't care. I'm just glad that someone is talking about what we're talking about. Because the thing about getting loud is people notice you. People hear you. People are affected by what you're doing. And that's 1,000 times better than being like Indiana Jones and not even mattering in your own movie. Amen. They can keep calling us nightclub church. They can say I'm too crazy, we're too unorthodox, too hyperactive, too underdressed, too extravagant, too generous, too gracious, into too much of that healing and blessing gospel. Just like the Bible says, by the way, it is a good thing to have wealth and good health. That's the word of God. When they want to say we're too this, too that, too much of this, well, like King David said, I'm going to say, well, I am going to become more undignified than this. We're going to get louder. Our church is going to get bolder. Our church is going to get more generous. We're going to preach about more healing, more blessing, more favor, more grace. You think I'm hyperactive now? Well, I'm going to get even more undignified than this. Amen. Souls that's going to keep getting saved. Your neighbors, they're not going to hell. They're going to heaven because you moved in next door. Because you were willing to check your dignity at the door and open your mouth. Hallelujah. Our faith is only going to get louder. Come on, everybody else. Stand up in this place and give the Lord one more shout of praise if you receive that word today. May there never be a Haggai in our lives. A Hagar in our lives. Someone whose life didn't change at all when we walked in the room. If you're in this place and you don't know God, or you're far away from God, I want you to pray a prayer with me and give your life to Christ today. If you're wondering how you do that, Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And you will be saved. There's an absence of lists in that, isn't there? It doesn't say all the things you need to stop doing to be saved. It just says the two things you need to do to be saved. Now, God doesn't want us living in sin. It's not like God's like against sin because he's like, oh man, I don't want them to have fun. FYI, sin doesn't usually turn out fun in the end anyway. That's not his motivation. His motivation is that it hurts you and it hurts others. Do not murder. Why not? It's fun. Well, it hurts people. And it hurts you when you get locked up for the rest of your life full of regret and shame. God's not mean. He just wants to protect you. So if there is sin and different things in your life and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can deal with all that stuff right now, you don't have to. You don't have to quit doing that. Your sin has been paid for on the cross. The things you've done wrong in the past, the things you've done wrong today, the things you'll do wrong tomorrow, paid for on the cross. But God does love you too much to leave you where you are. And if there is something in your life that's hurtful to you, destructive to others, or offensive to God, he'll speak to you when your heart is ready to have victory over that thing. All right, so I'm not going to come to you and say, fix that now. Not my job. My job is not to fix people. My job is not to transform someone's life. My job is to introduce you to Jesus and get you to open up your heart and your life to all that he wants to do in your life. And before time began, God said, let us make mankind in our image. And that's the moment that God thought of you. You're not an afterthought. You're not a lucky ape.
chased a banana down the right path and become a human. You're not a lucky ape. You're not an afterthought. You have destiny. You have purpose. And God thought of all of it the moment that he created mankind. And he's just been eagerly waiting for the day that you were born and the next day where you were born again, giving your life to Jesus Christ. He's been waiting for this moment so that he can help you become all you were designed to be. So I want you to pray this prayer with me, one line at a time. As you pray it, believe it in your heart and you'll be saved. So everyone in this room, repeat after me, every single person, even those who have prayed it every single week, everyone, but especially those who are away from God. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin. And he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive this new life. And I receive your forgiveness. Help me to live this life the way you designed it. Help me to break free of the pain, the hurt, and the shame of my past. Help me to become everything you designed me to be. I commit my life to you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Come on, praise God in here. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, there's three things that we need you to do today. Three things we need you to do. Number one, I want you to text the word saved to the number 25827. Why? I just want you to tell us that you prayed that prayer so that we can send you a gift in the mail today, all right? We're going to send you a CD of the worship that we sing here. We're going to send you a Bible, and we're also going to send you a gift card to one of my favorite local coffee shops in central Iowa. So we just want to bless you. The second thing is I want you to tell somebody else. Put it on Instagram. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Put it on Snapchat. Put it on VSCO, whatever that is. You know, just put it up there and tell somebody what you did today and tell them, look, hey, God changed my life today. Watch me live a blessed life now. Amen. The third thing is I want you to tell me. So if everyone in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads, every single person, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to count to three and then I want you to take a step of faith and lift up your hand. Why do I want you to do that? I want you to have some faith. I want you to shake off fear of what anyone thinks about you. And I want you to lift up your hand in a way that's saying, I want you to pray for me and I want to live this blessed and tremendous life that God designed for me. So you're going to reach out in faith and take it. While no one's looking around, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to tell everyone where you are. I'm not going to come down there. I'm going to stay where I am. But I'm going to pray for you that God will bless your life. So with every eye closed and no one looking around, if you prayed that prayer on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand and tell me who you are. One, two, three, go. Awesome. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Anybody else? 10. God bless you. You can put your hands down now. Fantastic. That's 10 in this service and 11 in our service last night. Praise God. Can't wait to see how many sleepy heads turn up at the next service and give their lives to Jesus Christ. Come on. Hey, let's all reach out our hands right now and pray for those 10 people. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even on a spring forward weekend, there are people in the first service wanting to give their lives to you. God, bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you that this is a house of grace. Thank you that every week people give their lives to you. Lives are transformed. Lives are inspired. Hearts are inspired and changed and healed in this place. And God, right now we lift up those 10 people to you. And I ask you to bless them right now in the name of Jesus, right where they find themselves. Not later, but now bless their hearts, bless their minds. May shame, pain, hurt, sin, brokenness, all the garbage of the past be broken off their lives in the name of Jesus Christ and replaced with hope, with joy, with blessing, with favor, with dignity, with purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise God right now.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.